Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. A lot of stuff has happened. I know I always say that, but guess what? I got it. I got the job, finally. So what happened was I did the third interview and then they said, okay, we'll let you know in 2 days. Didn't let me know. So I'm like, okay, it's okay. They're gonna let me know. Of course, then the weekend happens, and then the following Monday, nothing. But then Tuesday, I go and I look at apartments in LA. And on Tuesday, I got an email saying that I will get a phone call. He calls, like the manager calls, and they tell me the rate, which is what I wanted, which was great. But then my friend said, okay, even when you get the rate you want, you should still ask for more. So I did. I'm like, oh, what about this rate? And then they're like, no, we're going to stick with what we told you because when you master certain sections, you can get more money. So I'm like, okay, that's fair. That's fair. So then he's saying the rest is up to you, basically, how much more you make. I'm like, okay, that's fair. So they gave me the start date of September 2nd because September 1st is Labor Day. And I have this big HR day. But anyway, I got it. And I was so relieved at that point. And I was thinking, wow, everything that I've set out to do, it's happening. I've manifested it. It was not easy. Like these last few months were not easy, along with my emotions, along with everything that happened. It's been just this giant, I don't know, I wouldn't say a whirlwind because it hasn't gone quickly, but I've been busy every step of the way, either packing, either sorting out my things and donating, either looking for jobs constantly, and then looking for apartments. So anyway, let me backtrack, okay? Last week, I got this vein injection. So I don't know if you remember, months ago, it must have been over like 6 months ago, I first went to a leg doctor. I'm trying to get everything with my insurance, right? Because I have this great insurance, it's free for me because I'm part of this union. So I went to this leg doctor, a vascular doctor. I think that's leg doctor. Anyway, I went to him and because I have spider veins and he's saying we can get rid of most of the veins, not all of them because part of it's genetic and also part of it is just standing all day in the kitchen, you know, of course. But he's like, what we can do is give you this injection. It's a foam and it goes into the veins you don't need, right? Like the veins that go on the surface of your leg, they say they're not important. Okay. So anyway, they say they can give you this injection. It fills like the non-important veins. They fill with this foam and then over the next couple months, the vein dies and your body absorbs them. I'm like, wow. So all of this went to the insurance. The thing is, I can only do this one leg at a time because that's all the insurance covers. So it took forever. And at one point, the insurance did accept it, but they left me a voicemail and I didn't get the voicemail until already a week had passed. So you have to get this done within a 2 week window. 1 week had already passed and then the doctor was on vacation. So I wasn't gonna get in. So that whole window passed. They had to put it in again. And this is after maybe like 4.5 months later. Okay, so they put it in again. I got accepted, I got approved. So they said, we have one appointment. This is the only time you have to come in at that point. So for me, they asked me to come in at 11 a.m. Okay. This was a day I was not off, of course, right? And normally I wake up at 4:30 because I have to be at work by 6. But they wanted to see me at 11. So I said to the manager the previous day, can I come in at 4 a.m.? Only work 6 hours, right? Like if you work 6 hours, you don't get a lunch. And I'll do everything I can because I have to go to this leg doctor appointment. Okay, so it worked out. I got up at like 2:30. I did my shift. I was so tired. And then I immediately rushed to the doctor. The thing is, the doctor was caught up in the hospital with something. So I waited an hour to be seen for this vein thing. So it did happen. It went pretty fast. It took about 20 minutes. So you lay on this table, right? And you can raise it, you can lean it forward, you can lean it back. So for this to inject into my right leg, they put the chair back. So I'm leaning back. So they say it has to lean back because when the foam goes into the vein, it's like better with the circulation or something. It covers more area. The doctor's there. They sit me back, like I'm laying kind of backwards. He injects into two areas where you can see the veins, like on the surface. I feel the injection going in. It feels super, super weird. My leg is kind of spasming. It's kind of like a mild Charlie horse. And I was thinking in that moment, I was thinking, oh, I wonder if now I realize what Wolverine was going through. Not comparable at all, but that was a thought I had because I could feel the solution going inside my body, but just in the veins, right? And the veins are all over your body. And it was the weirdest feeling, right? Like it was going into my body and then my leg was spasming. It was just bizarre. Like, it did not feel good. He inserts it in two areas, and at the same time, he has an ultrasound, and he can see on the ultrasound where this solution is going in my veins. You know, so he's trying to get max injection site where it can go the furthest. So technology-wise, that's pretty cool. It just felt so weird. And of course, the insurance only approved one leg. He does that, and then he says, I have to walk around for 10 minutes. Like before I go drive back, I have to walk for 10 minutes just to get things circulating. I live pretty close. I decide I don't want to walk around the doctor's office or outside the doctor's office. So it's just a, you know, 2-minute drive to my apartment. I go back and I walk to the park. There's a park close by. And my right leg is like aching. It's hurting. It's not feeling good. And they put this compression bandage around it. And you have to have it on for 2 days. You can't shower, right? So I'm like washing myself instead of showering. And I have to have this on for 2 days. It's very tight. It's very achy. And at that moment, I'm just tired, right? I've been working before I did this. I'm glad I did it before and didn't try and work after because my leg just didn't feel good. So I lay down, I raise it like on this leg pillow, and I take a nap. I sleep for like a couple hours. And I wake up and my leg is just aching. Like it's hard to walk on it. So I'm thinking, I'm glad I have the rest of the day off. So I was just resting, you know, there wasn't much that I could do. So that was that, okay? And then they said, you have to wait like 4 days and then come in for an ultrasound to make sure that there's no blood clots, because then that's bad. That's what I do. In the meantime, a friend of mine arrives a couple days later. Now, this is a good friend. We were roommates back in the day. She flew out here. I wanted her to fly out here to help me pack some things to go through, any challenging things, like emotionally, as far as if I need to donate things. But the thing is, I had already started sorting my things out all these weeks before she came out. But this was before I even started, and I wanted her to come. But just this whole process, it's gotten better for me, you know? So she came out and we decided, okay, she's going to help me pack. So we wrapped all my artwork. She took apart like this table I have and she labeled it, making sure I can put it back together again. So we wrapped everything. I still have the kitchen to pack, but at least the office is done, you know, and almost all of the bedroom and some of the living room. I still have a couple weeks before I move. Anyway, we went to the beach. We went to La Jolla Beach. We went boogie boarding. Well, I went boogie boarding and she just went into the ocean to swim. But it got really packed there, you know, but I wanted to take her there because it's one of the most popular beaches, just for her to see it. And it was very nice because it's a cove. So you get waves, but it's not dangerous. Like there's no riptides or anything like that. But it did get too packed, you know, so that wasn't like good for me because I couldn't really boogie board. It just got too busy. But we did that one day. Another day, like we would pack in the AM and then the PM, we went to see Stans, this Eminem documentary, which was really good and very funny. I highly recommend it. We saw it in AMC theater in the movies. And then another day we went to the beach. We drove up to Del Mar, which is one of my favorite beaches. We went to the dog beach where they actually surfed with dogs. It's like this whole company. And you need about 2 to 3 people per surfboard. So there's a surfboard, the people are on the outside, and the dog is on the board. Some dogs really love it and some dogs hate it. But sometimes they jump off the board and then the board kind of hits the dogs. So the goal is to bring them out a little bit into the ocean and then ride the wave coming back onto the beach. And for some, it worked really well. Yeah. So it was very entertaining. And of course, at this beach, I got to boogie board, which was amazing because the waves were pretty strong. So we did that one day and I took off of work. I took vacation days and I took some sick days. At this point, work knows that I'm leaving. I've given my notice. What I did plan, though, is I planned 11 appointments on one long day in LA to view apartments. And I wanted to do it with my friend because 2 sets of eyes are better than one. And I drove to LA. We left at like 5 a.m. It takes us about 3 hours because we're going to North Hollywood. And I scheduled like every 30 to 40 minutes initially, because I was running out of appointment times. Later on in the day, I did it 1 per hour. I'm glad I planned that many because I only had that day. Like, I had to find an apartment that day because I'm working, I'm doing other things. I can't just keep driving up to LA. Like, it's a full day. So we drove up in the morning, looked at about 9 apartments that day because a couple, like, canceled or didn't work out. And then we drove back. So all day. The first apartment was beautiful. It was very quiet. Like they're all in North Hollywood. That's where I want to live. I know this because I will be teaching. And that's up in Sylmar. It's a little more north. But I also got this job, right, downtown at this cafe. So it's perfectly central, and in North Hollywood, they have a metro. So I'm thinking, okay, instead of driving downtown every day, I can take the metro, and it's just gonna make me less angry, right? Because I don't wanna be in traffic. And also parking when you drive downtown, it's $15 a day. So when you're working there every day, I mean, that adds up fast. We look at all these apartments. The first one's beautiful. It has a nice patio, which is the most important thing, but the inside was a little bit small. You know, I needed a good amount of space because I have a lot of things, right? Everything is about $2,200, $2,300. Like that's just how it is. And it doesn't mean the apartment's brand new. Like, it's, if you want a new apartment, it's going to be about $28,000 to $3,000. So I don't know who all is making this kind of money. You know, these are just regular apartments, nothing crazy. It's kind of stressful because we're going from one apartment appointment to the next. And of course, when you get there, it's not like they just show you and then you go away. They ask you questions. You know, they're like, what size apartment? When do you need it? And then they're salespeople, right? So an apartment may not be available on the day that I want to move, right? So they're like, if they move out on the 16th, but you want to move on the 29th, well, then you basically have to reserve the apartment and here's the extra fee, you know, and everything's prorated and all this. The whole day was just kind of stressful, right? And one apartment had something that I wanted, but then it didn't have the other things I wanted. So it got more and more difficult to kind of choose because there was not one apartment that had everything. Luckily, everything was all in the same neighborhood, so we didn't have to drive far, but it's in the valley in LA, and it was 100 degrees. Like, it was so hot. You know, we're just walking around because at each apartment complex that we went to, first off, you have to find the entrance, and most of them are all locked, right? So then you have to somehow contact the person that you made the appointment with, which isn't always an easy thing. It was a long day. The second to last apartment, it was like you could show yourself in, right? They gave us the code. I made the appointment. They gave us the code. And then the doors were open to the apartments that you could view. They had just renovated. And I thought I was going to take that apartment because, okay, the kitchen's nice. It's all new. Dishwasher, like all the things that I look for. Except it only had a window on one side of the apartment. And most of these were ground floors, so the apartments were pretty dark. And I have a lot of plants, but at least it had a small patio, which was not that bright either. But it had two bedrooms and two baths. Not that I need two baths, but that second bedroom would be great for any extra things that I have. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is the apartment, right? Because it was a good size for $2,200, right? Like all these other apartments were all one bedroom and pretty small, and they were all around $2,200 to $2,400. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is it. And I had one more apartment to view. The only thing was this two bedroom apartment wasn't in the best neighborhood. Like it was kind of right by the highway. It's good because you can get everywhere fast, but I don't know. Like it was not really residential. It was a bit more commercial. And maybe that's why it was lower in price. It's hard to say because I don't know the neighborhood that well. And the last time I lived in LA was 15 years ago and it was in West Hollywood. Like this is a different part of town and just so much has happened since. So we go to the next apartment and from the outside, okay, like they never look like much from the outside, right? So toward the end of the day, we were so tired. I started out the day taking pictures, writing notes. At this point, I'm so tired. I don't even take my phone with me, right? I leave it in the car because I'm like, okay, this just needs to be done. This is the apartment that I knew had a backyard. So I'm like, okay, this might be it. Let's see. I meet with the manager. He lets us in. We enter. There's this pool in the courtyard, and the fence around it is covered with like a fake ivy for privacy. So I'm like, okay. But at this point, I'm just tired. I didn't go in to actually see the pool. I see the laundry room. Okay, I don't have my own washer dryer. All right. That would have been perfect, but that's like for a more expensive apartment somewhere else. So at this apartment, people are still living there. So I couldn't exactly see everything. You know, when you have furniture in the apartment, it appears a lot smaller. So we get into the apartment. It's a one bedroom. The previous apartment was bigger, right? So you enter and it's this large living room space. And I think it was pretty large, but they had two couches. So it was just hard to tell how big it really was. And then they had boxes in places. Anyway, it was weird because I kind of felt like I was intruding. At the same time, I was trying to get every angle and see, you know, everything. So there's a living room. There's only one window, which is a little bit darker. You know, I'm obviously a fan of light. And then there is the kitchen, which is its own room, and it's quite large. Like, they even had a dining table in the kitchen, like, pushed to the wall. And then there's a patio, like a sliding door to the patio. And then that goes down into the backyard. So the backyard, it's not huge, but it's bigger than I have now. It was nice, you know, it had like fake grass on it, okay. But I'm thinking, this is great. Like, I can have my pizza oven here. I could put extra storage there if I needed to. I can put all my plants there. Maybe this is it, you know. But the apartment was older. It didn't have a dishwasher. It didn't have like washer dryer. Just the kitchen cabinets, you know, everything was a little bit older. And then there was a bedroom. It had a closet there, but it didn't have any other closets really. It had just like a towel closet. Anyway, my friend, she was with me the whole day. So she's like, this is it. Like, this is it. And I'm like, really? Like, you think so? And she's like, yes, you've got the backyard. And we were going through all of it together, which was really good that she was with me, you know, because then we discovered the neighborhood. And it's this big Jewish neighborhood. We went to this Jewish bakery, which was delicious, and that's pretty much across the street. We went into this Indian restaurant, which I guess they just switched it over. I go in, the salesman says his name, which I don't remember. He asked me for my name. He's so excited and so happy. He's like, we're having a grand opening tomorrow. Why don't you come back? We're inviting friends and family. And I was like, that's so sweet, but we won't be here tomorrow. But I will be moving into the neighborhood. There's this Indian restaurant, and I'm like, yes, this is perfect. Like, I love Indian food. And there's this big Jewish grocery shop, which we go into, and they have all these different items that a regular grocery store doesn't have. They had all these Jewish treats. It was written on there in Hebrew, like chips and things like that, cookies, like not in English. So I'm looking at my friend, and we're thinking, this is great. Like, I love this neighborhood. You know, there's Jewish families walking around, and people don't walk in LA, right? Like, not in the suburbs or outside of West Hollywood or even in West Hollywood. People just don't really walk in LA. But here, there were families walking together. People were walking to the grocery store and going shopping. Like, it was a safe neighborhood. We drove back. Oh, and before that, we were like, let's eat now and then just drive back. You know, because we're going to get back late. So a few blocks away, we found, it's called Curry Zone. And we ate Indian food, which was delicious. Like, they made the fresh naan. I had like a butter chicken, some dal. Very, very good. Anyway, so we ate Indian and then we drove back to San Diego. Of course, it took a while because we got into some traffic. Of course, it's bound to happen. And on the way back, like, we're talking, I'm like, okay, like, the last one is the apartment. Like, that's the one, just because of the backyard. And there is a lot more space, right? And there were no grilling restrictions. So I'm like, okay, I guess this is it. You know, the only downside was I couldn't really see the whole apartment. All these other apartments were empty. So it was just hard to gauge the actual size of it. But I can put up my pole in the living room, right? And I think it's going to work out. So we drive back to San Diego, and the sun is about to set, and we're at the perfect point, like by a Dana Point, and it's a scenic view. So we pull over, and we take pictures, and the sun's setting, and I just, like, I could see the full moon, and I just felt like it's happening. Like, everything that I've been working for these last few months, it's come together. Like, I was so nervous. I was so nervous about this whole process. I didn't know if any of it would happen. And it's been hard to trust, to have this level of trust. You know, I was putting all my trust basically into this one job because nothing else came up. You know, all these other ones I'd applied for, they didn't work out. This was pretty much the only one. Of course, I have the teaching job, but that is not immediate. You know, that's going to happen in a couple months. So I thought, I have to move now, right? Because my ex is still paying for half of the rent of this current apartment. So I'm like, okay, that can be my buffer, right? Like, I will be working, but instead of being all stressed out about making rent, because now everything's expensive, at least I have that to fall back on, right? Assuming everything works out. You know, if any one of these pieces didn't work out, it's a risk, you know? But here I was watching the sunset, seeing the full moon on the other side and thinking, it all worked out. It all worked out. Thank goodness. And I just feel like I did it. I still have to move there. And that's in a couple of weeks. I'm so happy that my friend came because I couldn't have done it alone. Like, it was just so stressful and a lot, you know, and being able to talk through it with her was so helpful. But we were both super tired. Like, we get back to the apartment and we just go to bed, you know, and luckily the next day, like these next few days, I head off. And then the next day we went to the beach and just relaxed a little bit and then packed a little bit. So we got a lot done, you know, but it hasn't been like a vacation, right? Even though I took vacation days, it wasn't a vacation. This is stuff that I have to do. So it turns out that the last apartment, I paid the deposit, and luckily the people who are currently living in it, they're moving out on the 28th. I wanted to move on the 28th, but I couldn't, so then now I'm moving on the 29th to LA. But it worked out because other apartments were available now and they can't guarantee that they will hold it for you. So you have to pay a holding fee, you have to prorate it, and you have to pay extra so that you basically get to have this apartment. For this apartment, that wasn't an issue because they're moving out at the perfect time. So I almost felt like, okay, this is the one. Like, this is meant to be, right? So now I've contacted some of my friends saying, I'm moving on the 29th. Like, can you help me unload the van? And my ex is helping me move. He said he would. Yeah, it's a little bit awkward. I don't know. I appreciate it. You know, I looked into getting movers, $2,000 for just going from San Diego to LA. Ridiculous, right? I get it. They're doing all the lifting and putting everything from one apartment to the next. But $2,000, I mean, that's a full rent. That's a full month of rent, you know? So yes, he offered to help me move. Maybe it's the guilt. I don't know. But I accept. I accept. So I reserved a U-Haul. And then on the 29th, he's going to show up. I'm going to load the U-Haul. I'm going to drive my car. He's going to drive the U-Haul. And then hopefully my friends will arrive and everyone will unload. You know, so that's what's going on, or will, but it was a pretty crazy day. What did it for me, the last apartment, was just the neighborhood. The neighborhood where you live makes such a big difference. You know, like, maybe the apartment is nice, but if the neighborhood isn't, then maybe you move out faster. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. It's so hard to know what each area is like by just looking at the place for 15, 20 minutes, you know? I mean, you're just rolling the dice, like, you don't know. And a couple days prior to looking for an apartment, someone sent me, like, on Instagram saying there's a serial killer in North Hollywood, like the exact area where I'm looking at. And I'm like, why? Why did you tell me that? Is it true, number one? And if it is, I don't need to know that. I don't need to move where there's a serial killer, okay? Yes, there's crazy people everywhere, right? And people who don't mean well. But that's a terrible thing to hear or see before you move into that area. Anyway, I hope it's not true. But I paid the deposit and I have it. So that's what's happening. And I have the job. So going back to the last episode where I helped that woman at the gym, I was going to deliver her the food that I told her I had. But then she messaged me saying she didn't want me coming by her house because she didn't want neighbors to talk. And I don't know what any of that means. So she said, I will come to your place and pick up the food. And I'm like, sure, like, okay. That day, she never shows up. She messages me at like 10 p.m. I'm about to go to bed. And she says she was just so overwhelmed that day and she wasn't able to come. If she could come the next day. So the next day, I message her saying, yes, pick it up. So she doesn't show up that day and she messages me later saying that her son threw up everywhere and she wasn't going to be able to go if I could deliver to her. And at this point now, I've given her like not enough boundaries, okay? So I'm like, no, if you want the food, you have to come pick it up. And also I had treatment for my leg that day and I couldn't drive, right? She's like, okay, I'll pick it up tomorrow. The next day comes, never shows up. So I'm like, okay, I guess she doesn't need the food that bad. And at this point, it's just, this is stupid, right? So that was kind of a disappointment because I really wanted to give her the food, but I'm not going to go out of my way to like get it to her. At a certain point, if people want something, I need to see that they want it, right? Like, why am I using my energy and my money to give it to them? You know, so that was it. She never came to pick it up and I never messaged her again. She never messaged me again, so that's it. On that same day, a friend of my ex, right? Like we were still occasionally meeting up and hanging out, but she canceled on me. And the previous time I saw her was like, I don't know, 3 weeks prior. So she said, okay, let's hang out this day. It was planned way in advance, but then she canceled on me too. And I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm not wasting any more of my time. So on that day, three people canceled on me that were supposed to contact me or come by or whatever. And it was then that I'm like, why am I wasting my own energy with these people? Do I want to be a good person? Do I want to do nice things? Sure. But now at this point, people are just taking advantage of me, you know? So I'm like, well, screw this. I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to keep wasting my energy for all these people. You know, like if someone wants something from me, okay. You know, but don't like play mind games with me. Don't mess me around, you know? And on that day, I'm like, I've had it. Okay. So basically, I never heard from this person, from the friend again, which is not really a friend, right? Because if someone cancels on you, you try and reschedule. You try and contact the person. Now, at this point, it's like 2 weeks later. Okay, whatever. But it's fine because this person wasn't a real friend of mine, okay? And I shouldn't have continued seeing this person because if you're part of a group and just because your ex leaves you, right, you're not part of this group anymore. But who knows what they're saying about me? Who knows what's happening behind my back? Whatever. At this point, I want to spend time with people who want to spend time with me. I'm not wasting my time on playing these games, right? But it was after that day that I'm like, I'm setting boundaries. Like, my time is important. And people don't just get to do this to me. If they want something, then you have to mean what you say. right? And show me based on your actions, not just on what you're saying. Like, people are so good at just talking. People love to talk. But then when it comes to following through, when it comes to actually putting action into anything of what you're saying, that's the hard part, you know? So if someone's telling you things, okay, but that's easy. Saying things are easy, okay? When I say something, I mean what I say. Most people don't. Okay, most people, they're just like talking in the wind, right? You gotta watch what people do. And that's the disappointing part. You know, when people start to not follow through based on their actions, those are the people that I'm not wasting my time with. You know, and it's kind of a lot of people. So I've decided I'm taking my power back. You know, I am moving. I'm doing all this for me. And I'm not wasting my time anymore on people that don't deserve my time. So I want you to watch that. I want you to pay attention to the people that say, oh, you're important to me, but then look at their actions, because people are good at lying. So I drove my friend back to the airport and I had to work that same morning. And now this is it. Like, I just have 2 weeks left at work. I'll just continue packing and doing something daily. And I've had a couple more appointments because I don't have insurance. The job is ending. You know, I'm trying to put all my doctor's appointments in as much as I can before I don't have it anymore. And I'm hoping that my left leg gets this vein treatment too. Because if you don't get it through this insurance, it's like $8,000, which is ridiculous. But that's what I mean. This insurance is the best insurance I've ever had, especially in the US. So today I got a treatment and it wasn't pleasant. But they basically did an ultrasound to view my insides as far as like my woman parts, okay? Just to make sure everything's good. But this was not a pleasant treatment. I swear, women have the worst, like, doctor's visits. Basically, they do an ultrasound, like, from your stomach down to make sure, and they take pictures and everything to make sure everything's healthy. And then they insert a camera into your woman parts and take pictures on the inside, like checking the ovaries, the cervix, like all this crazy stuff. So I'm like, okay, I'll do it because I almost don't have insurance anymore. So I might as well, right? Making sure everything's good. But it was not pleasant. You know, it's like, you know, nobody wants that. But okay, I did it.
Here's the thing, right? They put this giant thing of lube on this camera. The camera has a small cage, which sounds weird, but I guess to protect the cage? Like, I told somebody at work this, and then they're like, what do you mean there's a cage? And I said, well, maybe so it doesn't get lost? Like, I don't know. But they go up, like, all the way to see, you know, if anything's wrong. But I was looking up at the ceiling as this was happening, thinking, I wonder if someone would get turned on by this. I don't know. Like, I have no sex life right now, and this is what's happening, right? I just have this camera up there. Not pleasant at all. Turns out I get my results a couple days later. I get it in the form of an email before I have a doctor's visit. So it's kind of scary to get information before you have a doctor's visit, because I would say I'm a hypochondriac and I think of the worst case scenario when I read things. So it says I have a cyst, not great. So I look up on Google, I look at pictures of what does this look like. Some cysts actually grow inside women. They have hair and teeth. Maybe this is rare. I hope so. Anyway, I was looking at pictures of cysts, and some of them can balloon up into a size of a grapefruit. So the scary thing with cysts is they can just get huge and then they can rupture, you know, so that's not great. So I was kind of concerned about the cyst, but turns out I also have a polyp, a cervical polyp. I was first kind of made aware of polyps when I had my intestines, you know, like cleaned out when they went in there with the cameras, right? Like beginning of the year. Anyway, you can get cervical polyps, which they can also bleed randomly. But apparently it's not much of a concern. The main thing is you want them to be benign, which mostly they are, right? They're not cancerous. They can change over the course of time and become cancerous. But also, if you have a miscarriage, tissue can stay in there, like small microscopic parts of tissue, I guess, and it can cause a polyp. And years ago, I did have a miscarriage back when I was 34. So I don't know, because based upon when I had my intestinal thing, my colonoscopy, I had polyps, and the doctor said, it takes about 10 years for a polyp to grow. Now, in your intestines, it's kind of more scary because the larger they get, and they will get larger, but it can cause a lot of blockages, and then you can't go to the bathroom properly and things like that. So it can have really bad repercussions. But it takes, to get to a centimeter, it takes about 10 years. So if I use the same amount of time inside, my cervix, let's say it took 10 years, that would add up. You know, when I had a miscarriage, there was tissue still in there. Anyway, the doctor called me and explained all this. She was more concerned about the polyp versus the cyst. And I'm thinking, both of these suck. Like, this is not good. Both of these things could make pregnancy an issue. Not like I'm trying to get pregnant, but perhaps if I were, this would not be great. Also, I'm close to menopause, so probably not going to happen. But I was saying, should I get this taken out? You know, because I still have insurance for a month after I leave. And she said, you could, but it would be painful. Like, everything I suggested, she was saying like the opposite. Basically, then she said, or you could just let it be. And I'm like, what do you mean? What's my course of action? Like, what do I need to do? And she's like, well, it's not cancerous. Sometimes the size of polyps stay the same. And since I've never had this procedure done, I don't know how fast or how slow this polyp has grown. And it could stay the same size, you know, possibly for the rest of your life. And I said, well, so I don't need to do anything. And she's like, no, you can just let it hang out. She said, I can just let the polyp hang out. And I'm like, is this a, like, she's a doctor, right? Like, she's trying to tell me not to do anything. And basically she's saying, because I'm moving, there's no point to start something. Anyway, I thought about it and I want to get a referral, at least try, because I can still use the insurance for another month, even if I'm in LA. So anyway, this happened and it kind of made me less worried when I heard the doctor not worried at all. But then I'm like, she's kind of going too far in the other direction. Like, shouldn't she be worried a little bit? Anyway, she wasn't worried about the cyst at all, because sometimes what happens is you have a cyst and the body breaks it down by itself. Like, it's not necessarily a big deal unless it gets huge, and you'd know based on if you have pain, you know, like a lot of cramping. And I don't have those things. So she's like, it's fine. So then I said, well, what should I be looking out for if I know that I need to do something about this further? And then she's like, you would just get either a lot of bleeding and a lot of pain, or a lot of pain and a lot of bleeding. either or. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's good that I know this is there, but it also sucks that I know this is there, knowing it's just hanging out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing anything about it. It's weird to know, like, same when I got the colonoscopy, it's weird to know these things are happening inside your body. You know, they're just growing, just random things are growing. And I don't feel any different. I don't notice it. I don't have pain, which is good because nothing's cancerous. But it's scary to know how quickly things could develop. You know, and again, I'm a hypochondriac, so it's kind of freaking me out. Like, it's freaking me out. I'm taking so many vitamins. Yes, I've eaten a lot of sugar in my lifetime, but overall, like, I'm a pretty healthy person. You don't have control, right? Like, things can grow at any time, anywhere. And that's what kind of freaks me out. Anyway, I got it done. I know it's there. And I just wanted to tell you about it because it freaked me out. And I like to talk things through. So today was my day off. And I went to Body Pump. I went swimming, right? My gym membership is ending here. At my new apartment, I will have a pool. So I'm hoping it's like a nice pool because I didn't really look at it. And I looked today. There's a pole studio 7 minutes from my new apartment, which is great because I will continue to do pole. I think it's going to be my main exercise. You know, and at this point, everything's kind of moving forward, right? Things are changing. And I feel positive. I feel positive, a little bit nervous, but also excited. Like, I do love San Diego. It's very beautiful compared to LA. But I just feel like at this point, I need to make money. I can't make it here. So that means I have to go somewhere else. You know, San Diego is only 2 hours away, three with traffic. It's not far, right? I can always visit. Or if I don't like LA, I guess I can always move back. My goal is to stop moving, but who knows what my future is at this point. All I know is I want to do acting. I'll be working at this cafe. I'll be teaching. I'm going to have a full schedule. I have no idea how everything's going to happen. But again, this is what I do, right? I'm just thrust into new situations and I make it work. But the positive thing is, it will work. And that's what I mean. All you can do is look forward. All you can do is try something and put yourself out there. If it doesn't work, okay. Well, at least you tried, right? Like, I'm not looking back. All I'm doing is I'm looking forward. These last 3 months have been a lot of work. It hasn't been easy. But when you are true to yourself, right? When you ask yourself, what is it that I want? What is it that I need? You'll know the answer. Have I thought this through 100%? Not really. You know, but when a separation happens, when change happens in your life, all you can do is look forward. And especially relationships, right? Like, that's the only time in our lives where the time we've spent with this person, you think, you know, it's part of your past, your present, and your future. Nothing else in your life is part of all three of these things. So that's why after a relationship, you just go for things because it changes literally every part of your life, you know? And in this case, again, it's changed for me. And this is the first time where I'm doing all of this for me. And I'm curious how it's going to be. I will keep you updated. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Chef KB.